Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to give you the keyword in just 1 minute, but I need to let you know, come on out and see us tomorrow at the Brookview Golf Course, because we're going to have the first ever, well, Dave Lee is hosting the first ever Backyard Bash with Dave Lee. It benefits Boulder Options Youth Mentoring. We'll be out at Brookview Golf Course for lawn bowling tomorrow at starting at 8 a.m. You can register for a team or just join us for breakfast. Watch the lawn bowl for Boulder Options. You can take a shot at a hole-in-one. Not naked, by the way. There's no naked golfing at Brookview.
Okay.
No, no. Wear your clothes, please.
Not
golf
yet.
Shorts and everything.
Not yet.
And you get to win, and you can have a chance to win a Kinetico K5 drinking water station. Most popular place in my house. Find more information at WCCORadio.com/events. This is going to be a super fun event. I'm hoping to stop by tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about lawn bowling, but I'm really going to do my
You'll
best.
Get it.
I'm too.
You'll get the knack.
Okay, time right now for our key word. The word is date. Would you like to go on a date with me?
Well,
I know our spouses wouldn't mind.
But yeah, it would be a professional date.
They'll be totally fine.
Yes.
Okay, text that word to this number. 72881 is the number. The word is date. D-A-T-E. Dates are often juicy and delicious dates. Yes. And I hope you're enjoying a lovely date with your loved one this weekend. If you don't win this time, we hope you do. Next chance to win is tomorrow at 8 a.m. Message and data rates apply. And please never text and drive. You would never do that.
No.
You would never do that.
I remember some bad dates.
Yeah.
And that's why they call it dating, right?
Mm-hmm. So you got to kiss a lot of frogs.
So you find the right one.
A lot of frogs out there.
Making mistakes.
Got to kiss a lot of frogs. So we're talking a lot about those wildfires out west. We're seeing the residuals even here, thousands of miles away.
We're seeing smoke
particles
from some of those fires.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people can imagine what that's like. I mean, a hurricane is one thing. You see it coming days, weeks in advance. You can take precautions. We get a lot of grief about our winters. And yeah, we had a blizzard in mid-April, and it gets cold here in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But again, a wildfire? How do you prepare? What do you do? Where do you go? Where do you ride this out if you can't be at home? And full disclosure, Joe Torsitano runs a weather site called Weather for You. And my weather companies, mm-hmm. the companies I'm involved with, do some business with Joe. And I heard from one of our lead developers, well, our lead developer, Lee Huffman,
mm-hmm.
that Joe was impacted by these wildfires. And we reached out today. And he was kind enough to join us just to give us a better sense of what's going on. Hey, Joe, thanks for joining us today on CCO.
Oh, you're welcome, Paul. Thanks for giving me the chance to talk to you.
Absolutely. Where are you right now?
I am in the city of Grants Pass, which is about 25, 30 miles north of the California border in the southwestern corner of the state.
And so now, you know, we hear a lot about the California fires, but there are other fires going on, and one of these other fires came, it sounds, precariously close to your home.
Yeah, absolutely.
So where do you live? You're in Grants Pass now, but where do you live?
I live about 8 miles west of Grants Pass, out in the forest.
Describe what's happening around your home right now.
Yeah, how have you been impacted by this, Joe?
Well, what happened is back around, in fact, it was on July 15th, we had a thunderstorm come through the area in the morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning, and number of lightning strikes in the area. On July 19th, they spotted a fire about 11 miles northwest of Grants Pass and about 7 miles north-northwest of where my house is. During the first few days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it kind of grew in incremental amounts, nothing too drastic. But on that following Saturday, it suddenly had a huge move to the south and southeast because of some northwest winds that came in the area. So within the course of less than 48 hours, the fire was 5-6 miles away, and it came to within 2 miles of my house.
So are you in a campground right now? Where are you riding this thing out?
Right now, I am at a RV park in the city of Grants Pass. Now, my area, the evacuation levels have changed, in the last couple of weeks and stuff. But for a while there, we were under the threat of evacuation. And where I live, trying to get a fifth-wheel trailer down a driveway in the middle of the night where you only have about 4 or 5 inches clearance was going to be kind of precarious. Mm-hmm. So we first notification we had that there may be evacuations, we pulled out and put all of our important stuff, our pictures and other important things in a local storage facility here in town.
So to tell our listeners about, and I wasn't really aware of this, and I obviously try to stay up to date on things that are weather-related, the terminology, the acronyms. It's a full-time job just trying to keep up. But can you tell listeners about this Ready, Set, Go thing? It's the first I'd heard of that.
Yeah, in Oregon, they have an interesting set of evacuation levels. They have level 1, 2, and 3, which is respectively get ready, get set, and go. At level 1, the lowest level, get ready, that's when they tell people if you have livestock, if you have valuable things, this is the time to move the things out of the vicinity of the fire into someplace else. When it escalates up to level 2, that's when they tell people, okay, the danger is getting closer, it's even worse. If you have not made other preparations yet, you better do it now. And then, of course, level 3, that's where it says it's time to get out of here.
Joe, wow. Are you allowed to go back to your home, check on your things?
Yeah, how does that work? How long are you going to be displaced? I guess nobody can predict that.
It's hard, but at this point, the evacuation level in my area has been dropped down to level 1, which means we could return right now. However, due to the fire behavior and because there's another fire just west of the current one, which is starting to move east, we've decided to stay out a little while. But during the evacuation, they closed off a couple of the roads into the area, and you had to show identification and prove that you lived in the area in order to get into a level 1 or 2 evacuation area. And of course, the level 3 ones, they weren't letting people into at all. But at that point, it was important to always carry your ID. Otherwise, you weren't going to be able to get home if you had to.
So, Joe, if you go outside right now, can you see flames? Mm-hmm. Can you see smoke? Describe what
no,
you can see.
Well, there's plenty of smoke. A lot of the fire's coming over this way. During the first couple of weeks after the fire started, you could look off even from the edges of Grants Pass. You could look off to the west, and you could see the flames on the ridgetops over there. And there were some pictures that came out that were pretty dramatic that weren't at all exaggerated about what it looked like from here to see the flames. Now, the smoke continues to move into the area. Our air quality has gone anywhere from mid-50s up to the mid-200s. Right now, we're in the unhealthy level at about 160. So we've continued to have the issue of the smoke, even though the fires have, they have them, the one fire is 38% contained at about 43,000 acres. They do have it contained, but the smoke continues to move into the area, which is causing the health officials. I mean, they hand out the number of the health organizations here. They hand out the special mask that you're supposed to wear if you have to work outside in the smoke.
Joe, briefly, why is it so bad this year? I know it's bad many years, but it seems like the fires have been bigger and more severe earlier in the season. Put your meteorologist hat on. Why so bad this year?
Well, we did have a fairly dry winter. 2 years ago, we had a very wet winter, which did really great things for growing a lot of vegetation. But then this last winter, we had a fairly dry winter. And the fire marshal, back when this thing first started, one of the first meetings I went to, they said, we are experiencing August levels of fuel moisture in mid-July. The fuel moisture level just dropped so dramatically much earlier in the season that it didn't take a whole lot to set off. I mean, the fire that we're involved with was started by lightning. The one, the large one down near Redding, California, the car fire, that was started, not related to it, but it was actually started by a vehicle malfunction. They say it probably was just somebody's chains dragging, set the brush on fire, and instantly that thing wiped out a good part of Redding, California. It's just so dry out here right now. The fuel moisture levels are just so low.
Joe, you're a radio guy, right? You work in broadcasting?
Yes, I do.
I can tell. you're good on the radio. Thank you for joining us. And we hope from time to time we can check in. I hope you can get home soon. But please keep us posted and be safe out there.
Be safe, Joe.
Will do. Will absolutely do.
Yeah. Thanks for the sharing. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, that's Joe Torsitano out in Grants Pass. He has a weather company, Weather For You. And
he's out in Oregon.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Oregon. But one of tens of thousands of people that are displaced right now. Mostly in California, but all across the West. Yosemite, the park, this is prime time now. Tourists descending on Yosemite. They can't get to the national park. It's closed because there are flames nearby. So
he had a good attitude. He sounded okay. He's a lesser of a risk than some of the other folks. But my goodness, I'm glad he shared. Glad he came on with us. Thanks for finding him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we want to give away more tickets, right?
We have a float to give away, a Sanctuary Spa giveaway, a 60-minute float at the Sanctuary Float Spa. Really awesome experience. We'll give it away after the break here on CCO. That's
what
as calm as you'll
earth?
Be when you're floating in a float tank.
Susan, break the tablet in half.
It'll be silent.
I mean, Christmas is coming. How many days till Christmas? Is that, you got Christmas on your mind? No, pot it up. It sounds good.
It's just a boo-boo.
No.
Major boo-boo.
That can never be a boo-boo.
If you're in a float tank, I'm doing a segue, guys. This actually works. If you're in a float tank, it'll be silent and feel like night because
there's
very low light.
Okay, I get it.
And you can win a Sanctuary Spa float tank giveaway, a 60-minute float at the Sanctuary Float Spa. It's really cool stuff. It's sensory deprivation. I've done it. Stop it, the both of you. But here's the deal.
I'm glad we're not working at a nuclear power plant.
I know, right?
We hey, definitely what's this push button doing? Let me push this button out here. Yeah. Oh, my God. That red button.
Susan's not allowed anywhere near the codes.
The launch codes?
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Here's the deal. Our next segment is about recycling and plastics. We want to know how you're recycling. Are you bringing your canvas bags to your reusable bags to the grocery? Are you, hopefully you're doing the basic recycling. Have you started a compost? Are you using glass bottles instead of water, plastic bottles that you throw away? But Paul's doing that. He's showing me his glass bottle.
Right I fill it up the water cooler, and I have a glass bottle that I just keep using every day. And at home, I've got the Kinetico system, and we have weaned ourselves off plastic bottles. So we're saving money. And that stuff is not going into landfills.
Here's the deal. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Tell us how you're recycling, and you could win a free float spa. So we're doing the plastic bottles or the glass bottles or reusable bottles at home. I'm yet to wean myself off of the straws. Are you off straws?
Well, it's still not top of mind. It should be because a lot of cities now are banning single-use plastic straws.
I like straws because soda stains your teeth, and I like soda.
Do you? You got to get off that sugar water.
I like soda.
Come on.
I do. I like soda. Steve's in now then. Steve, how are you recycling?
We put in a Kinetico water system.
Yes!
Right answer. Yep.
Yes. Steve, I need you to stay on the
Good
line.
Good for you. Thank
Hold
you,
on,
Steve.
Hold on, Steve.
Yep. Thank you.
Stay on the line. Andrew. Susan, hang up so I can pick him up. Hey, Andrew, how are you recycling?
Hey, Andrew.
I am recycling by composting, and also I took advantage of using all those little biodegradable bags. And so I scrape off every night into that and bring it out, and they pick it up every Friday. And we're doing a garden out in front to create more bee population, too, on another note.
Wow.
And we did that for National Night Out, and we're going to have our whole block replant.
That's awesome.
I love that.
He's ahead of the curve.
Andrew, stay on the line.
Yeah.
Hold on one
Thanks,
sec.
Andrew.
Doris is in Plymouth. Doris, how are you recycling? Oh, Doris, you hung up. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We missed you, Doris. Cindy in Andover. Cindy, how are you recycling, love?
Hi.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I guess I started recycling about 30 years ago and composting in 95.
Composting? You were way ahead of the curve. Do you compost everything now?
Well, I do the vegetables and fruits and egg shells and things like that backyard so I can put it in my garden. But then Anoka County You can take, they have a composting site that you can take, fats or meat fat, leftover meat, bones, anything like that, and napkins and stuff. You can take that there. So it, but I'm not perfect. Once in a while, I have a bottle of, bottle
plastic
of water.
I get you. I get you, Cindy.
We're not trying to shame anybody.
You're pretty perfect, Cindy. Cindy, stay on the line. Let's sneak in Kathy and Lindstrom. You're our last caller. Kathy, what are you recycling?
I actually recycle the plastic grocery bags.
Yeah. Oh, okay. How do you do that? Do you bring them back to the grocery?
No, I'm bringing them to the Leo Club, and I believe it's Spring Lake Park, Leo's, the young version of Lions Clubs.
Cute.
Okay.
And they are weaving mats for homeless people.
Come on, really?
Absolutely. So they don't have to sleep right on the ground.
Out of these plastic bags?
Out of the plastic
bags.
That's
amazing. I've never heard of that. That's a great idea.
They cut them in strips, and then I also recycle my used pill bottles for third world countries that get medication, but they have nothing to put them in.
Do you bring them back to the pharmacy?
No, I am bringing those to the Leo Club also.
Oh, wow, that's great.
So, and I'm not sure who is taking those, from them, but there's somebody. So Lions are always looking for ways to help other people and recycle.
That's awesome.
Kathy, stay on the line with
us, okay? Kathy.
Hold on one sec. You guys stay on the line.
It's estimated less than 10% of all the plastics in the world are ever recycled, and we're talking tens of billions of pounds of plastic, much of it winding up in the oceans. The stuff was built to last forever, and it does. Mm-hmm. Some estimates it can last 20, 30,000 years. But there are changes in the works, and the University of Minnesota is on the cutting edge of developing plastics polymers that self-destruct after you use them. I was excited to see this story.
Very cool.
We talk with the local expert next on CCO. Plastics. Remember The Graduate? You saw it. You're old enough to remember The Graduate.
Sure.
What was that? Dustin Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
Plastics. And at the time, it was a miracle. It is a miracle. We depend on plastics for so many things on this planet. In 2016, Jor, world plastics production totaled 335 million metric tons. Half of that plastic designed for a single use, and then it's trashed. Human beings buy about 1 million plastic bottles every minute.
Oh, boy.
23% of plastic bottles are recycled here in the U.S. 50 billion water bottles in the USA every year. That is just staggering. And these plastics were designed to last seemingly forever. So what can we do? We know we have a problem. Much of that plastic winds up in our oceans in addition to our landfills. And I was very gratified to see that the University of Minnesota is on the cutting edge, the bleeding edge, of trying to design polymers that self-destruct, that break down after use. Leading the charge, Dr. Mark Hillmeyer. He is a professor at the College of Science and Engineering and director for the Center for Sustainable Polymers at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Hillmeyer, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
So tell our listeners a little bit more. How do you make a plastic that is durable when you need it and then ensure that it breaks down when you don't need it after you use it?
Yeah, this is a grand challenge in the field because we rely on plastics and benefit from their durability and their ability to protect our foods and last a long time. And so we have this desire to have the plastics perform at a very high level until we don't want them to perform at a high level and we want them to degrade. So what you have to really work on is the fundamental aspects of the molecules, they're called polymers, that go into these plastics, and try to understand how to design the molecules in a way such that, for example, if they experienced heat treatment or excessive heat treatment, or you can shine light on them or some triggered response. That way, if they do get out into the environment, they have a mechanism to degrade. But this is a tough challenge, and we're trying to take that on here at, in the Center for Sustainable Polymers at the University of Minnesota. And it really takes a good deal of molecule bending and molecule making.
Unzipping. I saw that term. How do you unzip a molecule?
Right. It's interesting. There are some polymers that when you make them, they remain stable for a long time, no matter what you do to them. But in some cases, you can design a polymer that upon the action of a trigger, like a light or heat, they'll start to go back to their starting components.
Huh.
And they'll literally go back to the small molecules. Polymers are big molecules, small molecules from which they came. And then you could collect those small molecules in principle and then make a new plastic out of them. And that's called chemical recycling. It's very different from the mechanical recycling that we're typically used to, where we would take a plastic bottle and then grind it up and then reprocess it through an extruder. This is actually going back to the starting materials so that we could make the virgin plastic again.
Professor, okay. It's Jordana, Paul's partner here. Okay, so you say you can get the plastic down to its original molecules or original polymers. Does that make it go away or just make it smaller that we then have to deal with on the planet?
No, there's really two paths, actually. One is going back to the smaller molecules, and those are actually called monomers, not polymers.
Okay.
Those are one unit, and polymer means many units. And so you go back to the monomers, and those molecules have value because they can be repolymerized into the same polymer again, and you could use it again. A different strategy is actually where you make a polymer such that it has degradable linkages that when in the environment, that the action of water and heat and microbes can actually break the molecules down to the same kinds of monomeric units, but then things like bacteria can use them as food, and ultimately you generate carbon dioxide and water. So that's the other kind of strategy, is making biodegradable polymers where the end result is carbon dioxide and water and not the monomers from which you came.
How far away are we? Just a rough estimate. Give us a prediction when you think we might be at the stage, and I realize this is sort of the holy grail, and who's going to get there first, and we certainly hope that your research is critical in that endeavor, but are we a couple of years away, 10 years away? The need is now, right?
The need is definitely now, but I don't think there's anybody out there who believes that a polymer like polyethylene, which one the biggest volume polymer made, is going to go away anytime soon. It's simply too cheap and too valuable to so many technologies. But what is happening is that the price of these more bio-friendly polymers, because of technology and because of basic research, continues to come down. And what will happen is when the price starts to become at parity with these petroleum-based and non-degradable materials, you'll start to see more and more uptake in the consumer market. The price drives a lot of this, and that's not going to happen just, out of the blue. We definitely need the research to be able to help the technologies and bring the price down. So what's happening now is that people are more and more adopting these more bio-friendly versions. But whole-scale replacement is simply not going to happen in the near future. But you will get market penetration in the next decade or so in certain key technologies. And I think the ones where you're going to start to see it more and more are this disposable packaging. Because it's unfortunate, as you pointed out in the beginning, it is unfortunate that nearly a third, some estimates say, of this kind of packaging material ends up in the environment, either strewn in the oceans or across the landscape. So it's an ever-present problem.
We're speaking with Professor Mark Hellmeyer. He's at the College of Science and Engineering, director of the Center for Sustainable Polymers at the U of M. Professor, what about corn? Can you make plastics out of corn?
Yeah, corn starch, that has come up. Some of our listeners, is that even viable?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I don't know. There's a corporation here right in Minnesota called NatureWorks, who is really the leader in making a bioplastic that comes from corn. Now, it's not the corn starch they use directly. It's the sugars from the corn that they use in a fermentation process that generates, again, these monomers. And then they get polymerized into a polymer called polylactide. It's called PLA. And you might see this on plastic cups, and it's actually coatings on coffee cups that are compostable. And that actually comes from, but their primary feedstock is corn. So through the action of biotechnology, being able to do the fermentation to get this molecule called lactic acid and lactide efficiently, you can make this plastic actually pretty cost competitive with other materials. And so it is actually happening right now, and Minnesota has led the way in that.
Well, that's encouraging. Well, please keep us posted, and I realize this is a very vexing challenge, but again, I was really excited to see that the U is helping to lead the charge, and we wish you and your colleagues the best at the U, and thank you for joining us today.
Great stuff.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for talking to me.
That was Dr. Mark Hillmeyer, a professor, College of Science and Engineering, director of the Center for Sustainable Polymers. Smart, smart people will eventually figure this out.
Love that. So interesting. I was fascinated by what he was talking about. Really,
and I'm
smart.
I'm just, again, forgive me for waving the flag, but I'm excited that Minnesota's on the cutting edge of this. So you go.
That's right.
Get it done. I did not realize this, Jura, but the WNBA players fly commercial. NBA, in most cases, it's private jets, right? Mm-hmm. Or they charter.
Yeah.
But did you hear about this forfeit? The first time there's ever been a WNBA game forfeited. The Las Vegas Aces, who are fighting for one of the league's final playoff spots, declined to play against the Washington Mystics last week, citing safety concerns after traveling more than 25 hours to try to get there to the game.
Gosh.
Should have been a 4-hour and 30-minute nonstop flight from Vegas to Washington, D.C., winds up lasting more than a day. I don't know what airline they flew, but cancellations. I don't know if it was mechanical or weather-related. But again, took them 25 hours to get there. They're exhausted, you know.
So they had to forfeit?
They couldn't reschedule the game? They had to forfeit the game.
That's not fair. That doesn't seem fair.
I've never seen that before. But we all have airline nightmares, right? We all have stories.
Yeah.
Most of us.
It doesn't cost most of us a national championship, though. Well, they'd have to contend with the Lynx then, so they wouldn't win anyway.
That's true. I don't think they would. But feel bad for those
folks. Oh, that's bad. I'm so sorry. Hey, tomorrow we're going to dig a little deeper into this immigration ICE story in Sleepy Eye, Minnesota.
Right.
On this, it was a pork farm. These illegal immigrants were rounded up along with some management of the farm because they were mistreating illegal immigrants, not paying them the proper amount. It was kind of a mess.
Not paying taxes, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
That's tomorrow at 5:10. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you then.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.